Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The throw into the end zone, touchdown 49ers.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky, 95.7 The Game.
Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky. That's Brian Baldinger. You're going to hear him in about 12 minutes right here on 95.7 The Game when he joins us, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Former NFL offensive lineman, obviously analyst for the NFL Network, and our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, and obviously NFL insider. I know, Stoney. I cannot freaking wait for Baldy's breakdowns coming up here in about 12 minutes. He was tapped. Yeah, right? He was tapped in last night. Everyone was tapped in. It was the national game. Like, in a game, again, no one had anything to play for yesterday. Oh, we've got to play for pride. Hell, pride. They're just in the Super Bowl in the early in the calendar. You know what it means to be a good team. There is no, like, play for respect. I respect Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and the San Francisco 49ers. Their respect is at an all-time high for me as far as I'm concerned. Yes, they had a bad season. They've had four losing seasons, and they haven't made the playoffs in, obviously, those four losing seasons. But you know what? In those other handful of years, NFC Championship, at the very least. So, they get a... As far as I'm concerned, you want to say not they don't get a pass, quote unquote. Well, given anything that's happened this season, and we're turning the page to a new year, sometimes you just get hurt. Sometimes players get hurt. Sometimes bleep hits the fan. When it rains, it pours. And that was the San Francisco 49ers this year. They got to the mountaintop. They got so damn close to planting that flag on Everest, but they slipped, fell on their face, sit on their butts all the way down the mountain, and had to start from scratch, and they couldn't do it. And they got a third of the way through and then slipped and found their way back to the bottom of the mountain. Joe Shasky. It happens. Also, be sure to download the Odyssey app. 95.7 The Game, thousands of other stations, and millions of podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, and great podcasts like Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys are all available with Sam Lumman and Joe Shasky there. We didn't even get into Corbin Burns yesterday, but we're not even getting into that because there's just so much other stuff in regards to the San Francisco 49ers, the Golden State Warriors, the Giants in the hot stove. They'll be there all winter long, but we got Baldy coming up in 10 minutes. What are you most looking forward to ask him, Joe Shasky?
Man, there's so many things like this. I think this defense, it's personnel and scheme. It's both. Complete revamping. There's a handful of guys. Renardo, Mustafa, I thought flashed a little. Fred Warner just needs to get healthy.
Lenore. I like Lenore.
Yeah. Yes. Bosa. Everything else needs to be upgraded. And I think scheme is a big part of that as well. And obviously the defensive coordinator, he's got to go. I mean, just I need a complete refreshing of the whole situation. Even if it's not his fault, like, you need to signify to the entire organization, like, Kyle, we're going in a different direction. We're done doing this defense that you're obsessed with. Everyone in the league is running press man or some variation of man with scheme designed blitzes and disguised blitzes. Everyone except you. You're running in in this modern NFL, an archaic defense that's getting completely diced, and it's so undisciplined, and they look so slow, right? So that's personnel and scheme to me. It's both. Simultaneously, I look at some of the adjustments he made on offense. The play to get Pearsall open on the big chunk play down the field where I jokingly said Brock Purdy had to like crow hop into it. It was a brilliantly designed play. It was a mesh crisscrosser, and Pearsall's wide open, and you had multiple guys wide open on that. That was a McVay, Kevin O'Connell style passing concept. I have yet to see a lot of those from Kyle Shanahan, and we saw that. So that's some growth in that area. There was a play with the jet sweep, and Sam brought this up pregame. They went to the jet sweep a lot with Debo. They went with Pearsall. There was one with Pearsall where he bobbled the ball. It looked like he was going to throw to Brock. And he didn't, thank God. And I like that he didn't.
He was smart that he threw it out of bounds because Jameson Williams ate the. And he could have early in the game, the Detroit Lions wide receiver, he could have thrown away.
Absolutely.
He ate it and lost yardage. It was smart from Pearsall just to throw it away there. I think people forget that you can just throw it away.
But Kyle also went back to it over and over and over again, which was good. And I like to see that. there are so many yards to be had in the offense. The offense still works. Are there little subtleties like that Pearsall mesh play where it's a pick and it's a crosser and you open up the deep shot? Absolutely. They have chunk plays in this bad boy. There are. There are chunk plays still here. It needs to continue to add these elements. You have to execute flawlessly, though. And there is something about being behind that both Kyle and this quarterback now, they have a problem with. And I don't know what it is. Like, I really don't know what it is. And I want to read you a couple of stats here because they almost feel impossible. Number one, point differential. The Niners are plus 50 in the first half. So during the week, I feel like they scheme really well. First, second half. Like, that's a lot of scheme. Like, we're going to specific to this opponent. Halftime adjustments. And then running kind of your basic stuff. Minus 74 in the second half. Plus 50 in the first half. Minus 74 in the second half.
I mean, it's the tale of two halves, right?
Okay. Now let's...
That's just what it is. It's just...
Now here, let's go to Brock Purdy.
Cookies are for closers. There you go.
We can argue all we want.
Boss baby. Like,
Brock was brilliant at times in this game. And then the second half happened. And he had some throws in the second half. And then he had some awful ones. Brock Purdy has 8 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions in the second half of games this season. I'll say that again. 8 touchdown passes, 10 interceptions in the second half. Kirk Cousins, only other player with 10 interceptions in the second half. And he has 11.
And he got benched for a rookie.
Last stat. Brock Purdy, any point, playoffs, overtime, fourth quarter and overtime, playoffs or regular season, fourth quarter and overtime, playoffs or regular season. Brock Purdy went down 1 to 8 points, not in a tied game, 1 to 8 points. He's 41 of 72 for 500 yards, 3 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He has a 52 passer rating. He is ranked 151 out of 160 with a minimum of 50 attempts since 2000. Again, I'm going to say that again. When down 1 to 8 points, meaning you're down one score, right? That's what we are.
Let's call it a clutch game.
All right? In the fourth quarter or overtime, in both regular season and playoffs, Brock is 41 of 72 for 500 yards, 3 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. And to me, it's the ball security. It's the 7 interceptions. It's the horrible oh-no throws late in games. And, like, how do you weigh these things? Like, and this, we got this way with Jimmy at times. Like, Jimmy would play really well, and then he'd make a crucial mistake, and people would call him the arsonist. It's like, who set the fire? Well, you did, Jimmy. You're the arsonist, and you're also the guy that hosed it down at the end. Like, so how do we judge these things? Like, you set the team up for success, and then in the second half, when some adversity hits, and I know the defense, just throw the defense to the side. We're just talking about what he's doing, all right? Because the defense is awful. Like, come on, man. You can't throw back-to-back picks in 3 straight weeks in the fourth quarter.
That Lions defense wasn't stopping a nosebleed. It wasn't beating a drum. If it was in a boat, they weren't hitting any water if they fell out of it. Like, that's how bad that Detroit Awful. Lions defense was yesterday. And you gave them out twice. They weren't stopping anyone unless you gave them a reason to. And credit Kirby Joseph, who him and Jennings were getting into it a couple times. And he backed up. He talked the talk and he walked the walk. He got 2 picks. He had 2 receptions. He had 1 more than Debo had the entire game, by the way. By the way, was that Debo Samuel's final regular season home game? Was that Debo Samuel's last game as a 49er at Levi's Stadium? Potentially. We're going to get to Manny on the Dunbar Bridge, Joe Shasky, real quick before we get Brian Baldinger here on 4 minutes. 888-957-9570. The question we've been talking about all morning is whether Brock Purdy should have played or not. And I guess the question is, should that be Brock's decision or should that be an organizational decision whether or not Brock Purdy plays in these quote-unquote meaningless games? Are they meaningless? I seem to think they are in these last 2 weeks. Shasky says no. What say you?
So was it meaningless for Ricky Pearsall?
No, but for Brock Purdy, he couldn't have gotten anything. He couldn't have helped his value. He could only have hurt it, and I think he might have hurt it.
But what
last
if he? Had, what? Okay, let me play the other side of this. He, you know, loses a unbelievable back and forth matchup to Goff in that fourth quarter. Let's say he doesn't throw the interceptions and like they just lose and he doesn't end up getting hurt or anything. Like, you don't feel better about Brock Purdy even in a quote unquote meaningless game? Every game matters.
That Detroit Lions defense is not stopping anyone.
See, I think every time you put the chin strap on, it matters.
I mean, his best two games has been against one of the worst defenses I've seen in the Detroit Lions, and then one of the worst teams in the NFL against the Chicago Bears. And when he played like a decent like team defensively, he hasn't looked good. Real quick, though, I want to get to Manny. Yeah. He's been hanging on for a while. What's going on, Manny? You're on with Spadoni and Shasky in the Morning Roast.
Hey, first of all, guys, have a happy new year tonight,
too,
man.
As well, man. Be safe.
Thank you, thank you. Hey, should have Brock have played? Absolutely, he should have played. The 377 yards, very Sam Darnold-esque. The two picks, very Jimmy-esque. You know what? They're not meaningless games. If they had secured the number one seed and they were the home field throughout the playoffs, then I'd say those are meaningless games. I want to see who I want to keep onto the roster next year, who's worth what, and that's why everybody has to be 100 the next couple of weeks or the last game of the season. It was very fitting that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were talking about what the Niners are going to do with Brock Purdy, and one of them said they have absolutely nothing to have to do with Brock Purdy right now. And right as soon as he says it, Brock throws the pick. They flash to John Lynch. John Lynch is in the booth, and it looks like Lynch wanted to hit somebody. You know what? This is what you do with Brock Purdy. You bring in competition for Brock Purdy to light a fire under his butt. Man, Shasky, you touched on it. These late picks, when it counts the most, man, when he first came onto the scene, I was beaming with my friends saying, oh, yeah, he should wear number 16. He should wear number 16. 13 befits him. He's Steve Bono-esque with these games, man.
Hey, Manny, I don't want to cut you off. You said bring in some competition for Brock Purdy. What kind of competition are you talking about?
Whoever is out there as far as quarterbacks, do what you need to do to bring somebody in. Because Dobbs provides some entertainment. We saw it last night, but he's not going to push him.
Like, are you pushing, like, you're saying bring someone in as a backup that can push for the starting position?
If it has to be that way, yeah. Because if I'm going to, look, let me put it this way. If I'm going to buy an expensive car, I want to make sure every penny that I put in that car is worth it. If this is going to be the year where we're going to gauge him, I want to see how badly he wants that big contract, man. He's saying that he wants top dollar, and he's throwing these last-minute picks, and he's never been in a game where it matters the most that he has to pull off the victory that he does it. That's why I'm saying he's very Steve Bono-esque and not Montana. Mm. Montana, two-minute drive, it's done.
I mean,
with Purdy,
we're up against it, Manny. Thank you. Are we forgetting? He didn't have a great game against the Green Bay Packers, but when they needed him to be great, he was. When they needed him to be great against the Detroit Lions in the playoffs last year, he was. Now, he wasn't the reason they lost the Super Bowl last year. He wasn't going to be the reason they won it, though, to Manny's point.
Can I ask you a question?
He didn't do, like, real quick, that the Super Bowl, which is the biggest game of his career, obviously. You were there. I think he kind of skates by in that performance a little bit. Like, he was fine, but there was at no point where I was watching that game where it's like, wow, Brock did enough to win that game.
No, he wasn't the difference maker.
He just wasn't. Like, he wasn't going to be the reason they won the game, but he wasn't going to be the reason they lost the game. And that, to me, kind of speaks a little bit to the stats you've been throwing to me, that he's now making the mistakes to lose him the game. And that's what you just cannot do if you're trying to win. And that's why I think he can only hurt his value at this point going forward. But I don't think he's going to play next week, so it doesn't really matter. We're going to be joined by Baldy here in just a few moments. Joe Shasky.
It's just, there's so many things that I'm thinking about when it comes to this quarterback play. Like, I thought he was brilliant in the first half, and he made some unbelievable. I thought the drive before halftime was incredible, and it would have probably had at least a field goal on the board, if not a touchdown, if the play after the Kittle throw over the middle doesn't get penalized and called back, and then they get forced into that big field goal attempt at the end of the half, and Moody misses it. It just sucked the life out of everything. But Purdy, the things that he hangs his hat on, decision-making, accuracy, and both are up in the air when the game's on the line. And that's not good. Like, if you want to be a Drew Brees guy, because that's what people keep calling, Drew Brees, accuracy.
He had a better
Drew
arm.
Brees, what?
Drew Brees had a better arm.
No doubt. But, like, you can't make those crucial mistakes late in game.
You can't telegraph
that pass to that safety.
I know.
You can't airmail that badly back-to-back plays.
I'm not trying to jump the gun on the conversation because I know where this leads, and it turns out, do you pay Purdy? I'm not saying that. But when your first two things that you have to say about a quarterback is his number two attributes – is decision-making and accuracy, and he's been anything but that in the fourth quarter
I know.
Of games. Like, that's when I have to start picking apart, and this is when negotiations start to say, I was like, well, if that's your best qualities and your physical skill sets are lacking and your arm strength and your durability is coming into question, like, say what you will about, you know, the Anthony Richardsons of the world, and, you know, Cam Newton, he's an MVP, so maybe Anthony Richardson, but like, the physical skill set I will never question with some quarterbacks. And I could live with some of the mistakes and stuff like that, because you know what? This guy's intangibles and what he does, what he shoulders the load. Maybe I'll use Cam Newton as an example here. Like, Cam Newton's physical skill set, he had to be the entire offense at times. Brock Purdy's never going to have to be that. And if he is, that's going to be a problem for you going forward. Which is tough, because when I pay a quarterback, I have to expect at times things are going to hit the fan, bleep's going to hit the fan, and you're going to have to be the offense. Joe Burrow's going to have to be the offense. Patrick Mahomes, he's going to have to be the offense. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, just Jaden Daniels is going to have to be the offense for the Washington Commanders this year as a rookie for them to have success in the playoffs. Brock Purdy, when things were not going well around him this year, had to be the offense, and he came up wanting more often than not. And that is what's frustrating to me.
Look, the rest of the roster, all the contracts were based off of the leverage that player had in the season or combination of seasons leading into it. They paid Debo off one of the great seasons in Debo's career. 2 years later, how's that look?
Not great.
Okay. If 1 year later he was going up for a contract, would his numbers have looked anything like, in terms of the contract he got, like what the deal he got?
No.
No. Brandon Ayuk, had his contract been up the year prior to his career year, would his contract have looked anything like it?
No.
Okay. Sam Darnold had a year as a backup last year after starting with horrible results and took basically a $5 million deal with the Niners and a $10 million deal, 1 year deals back to back. Is the money he's going to receive this offseason based off of what he did this year or what he did in the 5 years prior?
What have you done for me lately?
It's okay. This year. So, like, Purdy was good a couple years ago. This year has not been so good. So this thing that he's got to get exactly what Trevor got, this is ridiculous. Just stop. And everyone made excuses for what Trevor got and why he got the money he got. And it all looks dumb as hell right now. Stop talking yourself into something that your eyes are telling you is a bad deal. No one is saying he doesn't deserve some sort of pay raise. What we're saying is I got major question marks across the board. Can he stay upright? What the hell's going on in the fourth quarter? You know what? Let's go straight to Baldy. I want to talk to Baldy.
Okay. Well, Sharpie.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
Joining us here on the River Islands Guest Line, Brian Baldinger, presented by a proud partner, Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations, building better stats with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. We're reacting all morning, Baldy, to just what took place last night, Monday Night Football, a game in which neither team really had anything to play for, and yet we're here today, this morning, talking about Brock Purdy, his arm, his elbow, the imaging, all that we're waiting to see there. As we're looking at you, real quick, you're on Zoom right now, and we're looking at you on YouTube. You in Florida?
I'm in Florida, right in Fort Lauderdale, man. It's New Year's Eve. Right,
it's Sam, New Year's Eve. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, I'll be banging my pots and pans out here at midnight doing something. I don't know.
Well,
but, no, it's a day to get in the water today.
Well, that's season. Well, I think a lot of Niners fans want to do that. They want to take a cold plunge after this season is what they want to do here and cleanse themselves from this season. And we've been talking about all morning just – your thoughts on the game last night, Baldy, and Brock Purdy. You know, we've been talking about it all morning. Should he have played? Should he have not have played? I guess what we've been talking about more is, should the decision to play a quarterback, the final two games, a guy that's going to get paid heavily, you know, should that be an organizational thing? Should Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch sit down and say, listen, we're going to pay this guy a lot of money to play for us for the next 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it is, should they have maybe sat down and talked about whether or not he should have played in this game? Because now there's going to be real questions depending on this imaging of his elbow that, you know, could he be Could he be out? Could he get another surgery? It could affect their long-term plans at quarterback. Or are we looking too much into it and saying, no, he needed to play. It's the second to last game of the year. It's Monday Night Football. Nothing to see here. Just, you know, bleep happens. It's football.
Well, here's how I would answer that question, Sam. What are you going to do? Not play Brock, but play Fred, play Nick? Like, you're going to play everybody else, but you're going to sit your quarterback because you got to worry about the contract next year? You can't do that. You just can't. You can't. And here's the, and I'm not here to, you know, the question's a good question, Sam, and I'm sure people are asking it. But honestly, you can't legislate against injuries. Like, we all saw Brock take that fall. I mean, safety blitz, Brian Branch. Honestly, we all watch on the sideline. We saw him throw the two passes. It reminded me of the NFC Championship game when nobody knew what happened. But it's weird because no doctor is examining him. No, like, he's not shaking his arm. He doesn't get up looking like he's hurt. He throws two passes on the sideline. Troy kind of comments on it. He can't put anything on it. Nobody, you can't tell watching his face what's wrong. It's weird. Like, everybody else, Nick Bosa gets hurt against Seattle, and I'm like, Nick's hurt. Like, he's hopping off the field on one leg. Like, he's not shaking his wrist, his arm. Like, you really have no idea. And you watch the replay 100 times. You can't tell what happened, but something happened. And he knew as soon as it happened, it did, but he doesn't let you on to what might be the injury.
You know, there's so many elements with the arm and the elbow and just everything. Gosh, we don't know. We're going to find out. But
yeah,
how do you evaluate his performances? Like, there was a play in the game where, like, he threw the deep ball to Ricky Pearce. It's like he was crow hopping from center field to make the throw, and it's a wobbly duck, and he got there, and it was a pass to Pearce. Maybe a better throw. It's a 6-point touchdown. He looked decisive on the quarterback run. I was like, wow, that's old Brock. The way that he scanned the field, ran and dove in. He had energy. That 2-minute drive was brilliant. He hit Garendo over the top, and he hit Kittle, and he was making throws. He was, and then the airmail to Kittle on the play where it was a defensive penalty, it gets wiped away. The very next play just airmails the interception. And then the other one, he's staring down on the single high safety, and the guy steps right into it. How do you evaluate these performances, and what do you make of the second half, the interceptions?
The first interception, Joe, is just, it's an airmail. And you saw the reaction of John Lynch. But it's weird because he's not obstructed. You know, sometimes these throws, you're obstructed, you can't see it, you're thrown to a place on timing, the guy isn't there. Like, there could be a lot of reasons why a ball. But, I mean, Kirby Joseph's a free safety. He's as good as anybody in football. That's his position. That's what he plays. I mean, he's got the interceptions to prove it. But he literally is in center field just looking right at Brock Purdy. And he can't believe that it's thrown literally over Kittle's, you know, arms and right into it. And he's just literally not even moving. The second one, you can't really, I mean, it's just unfortunate, you know. I mean, Joseph makes a great break on the ball. It's the right throw. He just makes a great break. He made the same break on a pass to Jennings over the middle that Jennings caught the ball, and the ball got there before. But, you know, they like to attack the middle of the field. Those are some dangerous throws, dangerous territory. But what's hard is outside of those two or three throws, he had a great game. But those two or three throws maybe cost him the game. And so how you evaluate it is you can't afford those mistakes. But yet you still have to be aggressive. So I don't know how to – I'm sure Kyle is ticked, but you can't really make a case for why he misses Kittle on that first throw. Like, it's right there to be made. He's got a great lane to throw it to, and he stepped into the throw, and it sailed on him. And you just don't know why that happened.
Is there something to be said for maybe his stature at times in a mud? Like, because I know, like, in a muddied pocket, it can be difficult to deliver the ball, right? It just is. I don't care how big you are, but there is something like he made a really nice play where he stepped up early on the Garendo kind of lob pass near the sideline. And I was like, wow, that's a tough play. Like, got three guys in your face mask and you got to lob it over. But is there something to be said for some of these throws over the middle because of his size? Maybe it tends to be more difficult, or no? Is that a cop-out?
I think it's a cop out because he's made those throws over and over again. But I mean, you have to evaluate the whole body of work. And he wasn't as good this year as he was the two previous years. I mean, it's just that. Now, is that a trend? Is that a bad year? Is that the talent around him. You're down to your four-team left tackle, you know, your third-team left guard. I mean, you can make all these cases. Your third and fourth running backs. You can make all these cases that he's a product of when the talent around him is elite. He's elite. And when it isn't elite around him, he's not as good. Now, you can make that case, and that's probably a fair generalization, but it's probably fair. But the fact is that quarterbacks that make mistakes don't win big games. And Joe Burrow's not making those mistakes, and he's winning these games right now. He can't afford to make those mistakes. Jaden Daniels is not making those mistakes, and he's winning big games. And so the great ones just don't make mistakes. And Jared Goff didn't make a mistake last night.
No.
Now, the 49ers broke down. Huh. You know, I mean, they don't challenge you very much. So you can't really say much. But he didn't make any mistakes last night.
Birdie, back to Purdy just really quickly. For you, what's more concerning? The shoulder, elbow, long-term, you know, the moneymaker, the arm, the health? Or is it the play in crunch time?
Well, he's going to heal from whatever he injured last night. He's going to heal because he's healed repeatedly. But it is three straight years now with serious injuries. Now, we got to find out how serious this is. But it's three straight years with injuries. I mean, there is a track record there that gives you cause for concern. It just does. When you can line up and play 17 every year, that concern never crosses your mind. Jared Goff can do that. He has done that. But it is a cause for concern. I would be more concerned about the injury history right now than I would be about late-game mistakes.
Brian Baldinger joining us here on the Morning Roast. Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky. As Baldy's joining us on the River Islands guest line, as all guests on 85.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't time for you to discover the River Islands, and Lathrop. We're reacting to the Lions' 40-34 victory on Monday Night Football last night at Levi's Stadium. And just to put a bow on this Brock Purdy conversation, because it's the conversation right now. I mean, he's the quarterback. It's the San Francisco 49ers, and this has been a theme, Baldy, and we kind of stumbled into this. Just the injuries for 49ers quarterbacks has just not ended well. Whether it was Kaepernick in his shoulder, he just dwindled. It just, and there was coaching mistakes there. There were the wrong hires, all of that baked into it. But it started with the injuries there. And then you go to Jimmy Garoppolo. Why are they moving to get Trey Lance? Jimmy couldn't stay on the field. Then Trey Lance, he gets injured. As Jimmy's the backup, Jimmy comes in, he gets injured, and now you get Brock Purdy. And now he's been injured multiple games. He had to miss a game this year. He had to miss the NFC Championship game. Like, I'm just sensing a theme here. And I'm not blaming John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. It's just, maybe it's just, you know, it's bad luck at this point just to have all these injuries happen to the quarterbacks.
Well, Joe, I mean, but Sam, listen. I mean, this is the position. You know, Joe Burrow's missed 2 out of 5 years. Major injuries, right? Dak Prescott, how many, you know, you look at Jalen Hurts. I mean, just go through the list of these guys. I mean, how many actually stay healthy? I mean, Stafford has been in and out. You know, but when he can stand up and move, like, he still can throw it elite. But the fact is, it's the position. Jared Goff is honestly the aberration right now. But you can go through the list of all these guys, and I don't care what the name of the back of the jersey is. Baker Mayfield, the injuries he had in Cleveland. All right, he stayed healthy now, but it's the nature of the position right now. I mean, it'd be good if on that play that Brian Branch hit him on, that they would have known that the safety was blitzing. Now, I saw it. He's up at the line of scrimmage. What else is Brian Branch doing there? You would think that you'd have a little bit of awareness that he's there, and they didn't, and he got hit. But it's the nature of the position. These guys are getting hit by monsters and getting crushed. I honestly don't know how some of them survive a season with some of the hits that they take.
So true. You know, you're talking about like what the Detroit was doing. They showed a graphic. There's like 1,000 guys on their defense that are injured. And at one point they had three like linemen down in the dirt, and then the two guys on the side and all the other linebackers and safeties in the box. And they were like basically daring the Niners to win one-on-one. And that's a whole nother conversation. But I thought in this one, Ricky Pearsall was getting used the way they used Debo on a lot of the in-breaking stuff and the short stuff. I thought he looked great. This was a big revelation. Where's this been for the last couple of weeks? Like, I was so encouraged with what I saw from Ricky Pearsall. What about you, Baldy?
That was true. The sideline catch, the toe tap, the one-handed catch. I mean, put that on his resume reel, whatever, how many catches there are. The touchdown catch, you know, against Branch right there, just a toe tap to be able to get that foot in. The camera angle was unbelievable. You know, that's a sprint left option. That play's been around in San Francisco for 45 years. I mean, it's great, but that's great concentration. But we saw the athletic ability. We saw the hands. We saw the separation. Like, it was truly if there's one good thing that happened last night to the 49ers, there's like, I think you can feel better about Ricky going into the offseason than maybe we did a month ago.
What about the kicker? What do you do with the kicker situation?
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
This is like Baldy. I mean, we had Jose Cortez, Mike Kofor. I mean, it's just special teams is a nightmare for Niner fans. Kyle Williams, like, just go down the list. It's the poor kicker, and I feel bad for him, but like this can't continue. Like, what? He pushed one right. He, you know, hooked one left. Like, it's me driving a golf ball, and then he pushed another one, the extra point,
and the onside kick.
And the onside kick,
he blew it out of bounds.
Baldy, what do you do?
Well, first of all, why do you march him out there on a 58-yard kick? Why?
Thank you.
I mean, what do you? I know that you're not playing for any postseason berth, but you want to win the game. Like, why are you? You're just going to give Detroit field position. Like, what's the odds of him making a 58-yarder at this point after what he's been through? But, like, all kickers, I mean, you look at all the kickers in this league. I mean, Justin Tucker, they're all on a carousel. They're all moving. They're all like, okay, they're cut today, they're picked up tomorrow. I mean, the Jets don't have a kicker that can make a kick. Like, how many kickers give you confidence right now? Jake doesn't give you any confidence. The onside kick is ridiculous. You practice that every single day. Like, you got to get the bounce. Like, that just is ridiculous. But, yeah, I mean, he shanks it on, you know, an extra point. Like, I don't know. At some point, you got to have – I mean, if I'm John Lynch, then I'm not just John Lynch in San Francisco, but I'm any general manager around the league. Like, I've got a kicker on my practice squad, and I'm challenging my kicker every day. Like, and I'm challenging him in practice every day to make these kicks. But it's been a disaster all year. They've lost a number of games this year because of it. So they've got to get that fixed. They spent, a third-round pick? Did they spend a third-round pick on Mooney?
A third-round pick on him.
Yeah. I mean, I could go to Argentina right now and find a kicker. I don't have to spend anything. A plane ticket, that's it.
Brian Baldinger joining us here. Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. Sam Lubman doing a hell of a job producing our show right now. And he put a great question on here. Because you joined Sam and Jake Hutchinson last week, Baldy, and you gave Ricky Pearsall an incomplete. So we've been having a lot of doom and gloom in this interview right now, rightfully so. But a bright spot last night was slick Rick Pearsall. Baldy, looking good.
It was actually good to see him smiling.
Yes.
Like, you know, right? He was contributing. He made some plays. He didn't look like he had for much of the season where he was either invisible or not making anything happen. Last night, you could see, it was a good night for Ricky. And, you know, you feel a lot better about him because, you know, could he, Troy talked about it throughout the night. Like, your guys have to beat man coverage. You've got to be able to separate. You just can't throw jump balls to these players and think you're going to have a good passing game. And so to see him separate on whether it's a dig route or whether it's in cut, or to see him make that catch on the sideline, it was good. It was a good night for Ricky, and I gave him an incomplete because I thought it was incomplete. Last night can kind of turn your impressions around of what he could be in this offense.
Totally agree, and I think George Kittle was a typical George Kittle, just awesome, one of the Hall of Famers. Like, throw him to the side. Nick Bosa, best game of the year. And I know you love Nick. I just thought he was relentless last night. He was awesome. He took on the challenge of Penei Sewell, and I thought it was a great gladiator match. But I got to talk about the rest of the defense. They're so slow. Now, Jahmyr Gibbs is a dynamic player. He reminds me, and Baldy, you'd be more versed, he's like a hybrid Kamara meets Jamal Charles. He reminds me of Jamal Charles. I love watching him play. That being said, we look so slow, and then we're playing 1,000 yards off of Amon-Ra St. Brown at the goal line on fourth down, and they go to John Lynch in the booth after the play, and he's like punching air, and I'm thinking, What is? I know the personnel stinks. I'm not here to like pretend that the personnel is the 85 Bears. But what are we doing schematically? I don't get it. Is it like? Baldy, I'm losing.
There's
my
an
mind.
Old saying, Joe. There's an old saying. Whether you're a linebacker or defensive back, in that situation where Amon Ra catches that that pivot route for a touchdown, like if you back up, you give it up. You step up, you clean it up. Like there's no. And then it's the other old saying is 10 toes on the goal line. That's the defense. We're not backing up. We're defending the goal line. We're not giving you the goal line. Like, put your toes on the goal line and keep it all in front of you. Like, you know, even if you look at the play by Brian Branch where Pearsall scored, I mean, he's attacking the play. Now, he almost gets him. Like, he gets one toe on the goal line, and that saved him. And it took about 10 replays for them to okay it. But that's how you play goal line defense. Like, that's what drove John Lynch nuts. That's what got, like, John Lynch is usually pretty controlled up there, but that got him up going, what are we doing? What is Ronaldo doing here? Like, this is stupid. This is just dumb football. Like, you're just giving him this underneath stuff like this.
And they did the same thing on the fourth down play to Laporta. I go, guys, like, what are we doing? It was like the softest zone coverage. I don't understand. And is this just Kyle's philosophy on how to play defense? The whole league is playing man with disguising blitzes and all this stuff. And I feel like we're in the most soft serve McDonald's late night, you know, ice cream cone zone defense. What are we doing?
Machine's broken.
Well, I mean, when you were in man, you got like bunch formation to death. Like you saw Mustafa,
yeah,
you know, and Fred Warner complete, like Fred was all over Mustafa on the play where Laporta's wide open for 20 yards. And it's classic bunch formation. Okay, we're going to test your, you know, your communication skills right here. You know, are you going to banjo it? Or are you manning it? You fighting through the picks? Were you zoning it? What are you doing? And repeatedly, they caught the 49ers, you know, two guys going in the same, you know. And look, the Niners did the same thing to the Lions, too, for a number of, you know, the play down the field to Pearsall is a classic case of that bunch formation and two guys running into each other, you know, so... Arnold and Brand's running into each other, and Pearsall is wide open. So that's why you run those formations. But there's just too many breakdowns. And look, outside of Nick, there's not one guy on that defensive line right now. I mean, we understand how, you know, the injuries and everything. But I thought from the very beginning of the season, especially when Hargrave went out, that they did not have enough personnel to run the defense they want to run. They just don't. They don't have the personnel to be a four-man front and not be a big blitz team and all that kind of, like, they don't have the personnel to do it.
Well, we were talking about this morning. Did Leonard Poole even play last night? Like, he was brought in here to be the number two, and it might be the quietest. He might finish. I don't even know if he played last night. He has 8.5 sacks. Might be the quietest 8.5 sack season I've ever seen. And it's unfortunate, Baldy, because I know you were high on him coming in here because he's been so damn consistent throughout his career. It's just... it feels like they've been trying to find a number two alongside Nick Bosa. They brought in his friend Chase Young last year. You know, Chase Young played well in the Super Bowl. I'll give him credit there. But for the most part, it wasn't a lot. Randy Gregory didn't do much. I think he had a sack in his first game as a Niner. Yep. Didn't hear from him the rest of the way. Eric Armstead, defensive tackle, obviously. He did some nice things, but he wasn't on the field. Javon Hargrave, the last year. It's just, when I look at everything, the totality of this team right now, we're not going to, we have all offseason for draft talk, and we'll talk to you about it. But they just need someone, whether it's his brother, Joey, I don't know. Bringing in someone here to help Nick out is got to be priority number one.
Well, you need three. You need an inside push, and you need two on the edge. You just do. You know, you look at any team in this league right now that's playing great defense, they're gonna present that to you. You're going to see that. And so right now, I mean, the inside push, I mean, I know Givens has been out and, you know, Malik gives you everything he's got. But honestly, when they're rolling, they've got three that are winning. And the quarterback can't step up. I mean, Goff, outside of Nick getting there last night a couple of times, I mean, Goff wasn't basically touched. And so, but that's been the story. That's been the story all year. And you have to, honestly, when you're building a team right now, outside of your quarterback and what Detroit's built on their offense line, what the Eagles have built, what the great teams in this league have right now, you have to put your resources into your defensive front. You just do. You have to affect the quarterback. And if you don't, I don't care if you got Deion Sanders out there, you got Ronnie Lott out there, like, you're going to get beat down the field in this league because the rules are made for it, It's impossible to hold up past 4 seconds. You got to put your resources in your defense line and resourcing good players and in depth positions too.
Baldy, hey, good stuff, man. Obviously, we'll do it again next week. Got one more to go. I'd be surprised if you see a lot of the starters next week. I'd be surprised if Brock Purdy plays next week. But, man, you've been good to us all season long, and I hope you have a happy new year. I hope everything goes well tonight. Looks lovely out there in Florida. I'm bundled up, and so is Joe Shasky. It's cold out here in the Bay Area, and it's been cold for the 49ers fans. But mercifully, it's going to be coming in, to an end next week. Thanks, man.
Happy New Year, Sam. Joe, all the best. We got a good football, though. We got a lot of good college games this weekend coming up, or this week. We'll find out who makes it. Does Joe Burrow get in the playoffs? Mm. Like, if Joe Burrow gets in the playoffs, I'm like, watch out, because they could put up 30 on anybody at any time. So, anyways, all right, guys.
All right,
Happy New Year to you. I'll talk
Happy
to
New
you
Year.
Soon.
Hey, that's Brian Baldinger, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. As you all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? Time for the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
I mean, my ego, I think, is the most thing injured right now. I got called Sam at least 5 times in that interview, but we're not going to talk
like a
about that.
Right there.
Yeah, that was a tough scene. I even tried to correct him as I said my name, said your name, and how good of a job you're doing, and it still didn't register with Baldy.
Just how good I'm doing, man. I'm producing and hosting.
Yeah, another Brock Purdy elbow injury? Question mark? I'm Ron Burgundy. 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan said after last night's loss that Brock Purdy is dealing with a nerve issue in his throwing elbow after suffering a hit late in the game. He is expected to undergo more testing today, but his status for Week 18 is very much up in the air. Shanahan expected to speak with the media at 11 o'clock on his weekly media conference call, so we'll get more information there. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We're going to react to what Brian Baldinger had to say. Brock Purdy, the injury, the defense, everything. We're reacting to that Lions victory over the 49ers, 40-34 on Monday Night Football. It's Spadoni, it's Chasky, it's the Morning Roast. Come on back, 95.7 The Game.